welcome to Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to the guitar player, guitar maker, gear builder, and purveyors of such items that you may not know about, but should. Mark Davin.
All right, folks, welcome back to another episode of Guitar Radio Show. Today we've got a really interesting one, and I'm learning more and more about it as we go. I have been on YouTube to check some of this stuff out, and I can't stop myself from jamming along with it, but I'm just astounded by the performances with folks like John Popper, Mike Keller, Nels Klein, Duke Rubelard, and Mike Stern, just to name a few of the folks that are appearing on the Funk Wrench Blues project, which you can find pretty much on any streaming any streaming service that there is on the web. Go to Google, type in Funk Wrench Blues. It'll point you in a direction that you can get your Funk Wrench on. I've been going to YouTube to check it out, but I also checked it out on Spotify. It's all over the place. We have with us the creators of that, Mr. Frank Swart and Brian Breakeroff. How are you, gentlemen? Welcome to Guitar Radio Show.
We are excellent. Nice to digitally meet you, man.
Well, next time you are in the physical realm here in Austin, Texas, you let me know. I'll take you out for the best barbecue ever.
That sounds good. I'm a vegan, man, so I'll pass on the barbecue, but Brian, you'll eat the barbecue, right?
I would absolutely.
I'd rather go for Mexican. I'll go for Mexican food with you,
man. Well, I got plenty of places for that, but we can break you of that really bad vegan habit, I'm sure. All right, gentlemen, I kind of want to turn the mic over to you guys because this is really, really fascinating. Like I said in the intro, I can't help myself when I hear some of these grooves that you guys have put together for this. I can't help but just pick up a guitar and play along first and foremost. But man, these are some killer freaking grooves and amazing production on these really groove oriented pieces with some really killer players. What was the impetus of all this?
Well, so the impetus for it was really kind of so Funk Wrench has been this is Frank, by the way. Funk Wrench has been my kind of project name, music handle all my life, and Funk Wrench is just a nickname for a bass. And I first had this kind of like experimental project with Kenny Vaughn, guitar player out of Nashville, killer guitar player, plays with Marty Stewart, and Adam Abishoff was the drummer, who is the drummer from Simo. And we had this project. It was, like I said, experimental avant-garde thing. And so when I moved out to San Francisco from Nashville, I met Brian, I'm going to call him Brinky, okay? So for your listeners, Brian is Brinky, okay? So
right on.
I'm from the East Coast. Everybody has a nickname. So Brian is Frankie. When I met Frankie, we talked about, I was working, Brian's a producer, and I was working for him. He had been introduced to me by our friend Marco Giovino, who was playing with Robert Plant, and I had played with Marco with Patty Griffin. And anyway, so I was doing a lot of stuff for him. And Brian had an idea of doing, like, you know, getting some kind of a project together and doing really, like, just blues stuff. You know what I mean? To just get something out there, you know what I mean? Really kind of, I think he was trying, felt bad for me that I wasn't doing anything and thought it would be good for me to do. And anyway, so I didn't really think, I didn't think that much about it. It was like, sure, man, let's just do it, you know? And then once we started doing it, and Brian really was playing more kind of the A&R guy, you know, and he's like, you know, well, what about so-and-so? And so let me just backtrack. So one of the things was that Brian's idea was to build a recording studio, which is an insane idea, right? Nobody in their right mind would build a recording studio, you know? There's the joke, it's like in the restaurant business, right? It's like, you know, how do you make $1 million in the restaurant business? You start with $2 million. It's the same thing in the studio business, except it's probably even worse than the restaurant business. But at the same time, you know, Brian was like, well, look, it doesn't need to be a 24/7 commercial studio. It, you know, if this will be a place, you know, we'll build this place and it will be someplace that we can use to do projects. So we're not spending money on studio time. And I was like, okay, that sounds like a, you know, low pressure situation. It'll be great. So we built this killer studio in Santa Cruz. So we go into the studio with a drummer, with Marcus Davis, who played with Nick Graminides. And, you know, he's like from Chicago, one of the cats, you know, like, you know, played with Bloomfield and all that stuff. And Rich Kirch, who played with John Lee Hooker and also was from Chicago and totally tied in with that whole kind of Electric Flag scene, right? Anyway, so we go in and we record a bunch of instrumentals. I write the tunes, and I've always just, you know, as you know from Simo, you know what I mean? I'm a prolific writer of grooves. I don't write lyrics per se, you know what I mean? So, I write all these instrumentals. So we go in, we record all these tracks, and then Brian plays A&R guy and says, you know, hey, man, what about, and I'm trying to think, Coco Montoya was our first artist to come into guest. And Brian's concept, I apologize for speaking for him. He's not going to get a word in edgewise until he just smacks me and, you know, knocks me out. But the concept with the studio, it being in Santa Cruz, other than the fact that Brian loves Santa Cruz and kind of, you know, I think he eventually plans on living down there. Santa Cruz is way more of a music-friendly town than San Francisco, right? Mm-hmm. So we both live in San Francisco. But as far as kind of like Santa Cruz, like going back in time, like there are still music stores and record stores. So people come through. There's a lot of touring that goes through, and people tend to be more available in Santa Cruz than if they're playing a gig in San Francisco. A lot of times, if you're on a low budget, when you're touring through San Francisco, you get in and you get out because you can't afford to hang there. Or if you have a lot of dough, then you play in San Francisco and you want to go and be a tourist. So maybe you don't want to go and sit in on a session, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was the idea. It was, okay, we're going to build a studio in Santa Cruz, and it's almost like to build it and they will come. So Brian's first artist was to get Coco Montoya to come in. So Coco comes in after a gig one night, touring through, and lays down what is still one of my favorite solos that we've captured. He just killed it, man. And I think everybody knows Coco played with John Mayall.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, and so then it just kind of, as I started doing it, I was like, holy crap, man, like, this is pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like it became, I realized that this is, you know, it really became something that instead of kind of on a whim, it was something that I started to really feel proud about and kind of take more seriously, you know? And it's grown now into something, you know, where we've given it a name. We have a label. It's called Need to Know Music. And this is the Need to Know Badass Blues Instrumentals. And at this point, we've recorded 137 of these instrumentals. and we're actually going in to record 30 more in a couple of weeks. So that was my very long-winded answer to your question.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's what we were looking for, was the information. It's really, really great. I mean, so the studio, give me kind of a background on that. Is it an old school style studio? Because the sounds that you're getting out of there are really vibey.
So, yes, it is definitely old school. We are recording to Pro Tools, okay? So that's mm-hmm. not old school.
Right.
But, well, at this point, it is old school. You know, it all depends on how old you are, right? You know, I'm one of those people, you know, I listen to the radio and they play Nirvana and I think, wow, that's a new song or newer band, right?
Right.
And it's like, and then the DJ comes on and goes, old school rock. And I'm like, oh, God, what does that mean? What is Jimi Hendrix then? You know, that's the antiquity. You know what I mean?
It's Methuselah.
Socrates and Plato, Zeppelin and Hendrix.
Yeah.
So, the studio. So we do record into Pro Tools, but Pro Tools, very much the way we approach it, man, it is a tape machine. You know, I don't approach Pro Tools in a digital sense. Like it's a virtual. Oh yeah, so like Brian's saying, like he's whispering here because he can, like you said, he can't get a word in edgewise. Would you like to comment about? All right, so he's saying to me, you know, like we don't do click track. Like click tracks just don't happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't do.
Well,
you know,
it'll kill a groove. It can really kill a groove.
I mean, I gotta tell you, man. I've been doing this as a hired gun session guy, you know, like forever. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been in the room. And we're practicing, you know, the band's practicing and you have a vibe going, you know what I mean? And it feels so good. And then, you know, the engineer or producer throws on the click track, you know, it's like, okay, is everybody ready? Everybody's ready. They throw on the click track and it's like the vibe goes out the window, man. Mm-hmm. And I know there are drummers out there and they can quote unquote bury the click. But, you know, I challenge anyone really to show me when a click actually makes it more grooving. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know that it can rein people in and keep them focused, but I don't think it really ever makes it more grooving. I don't think so. And then, you know, we have like a ton of vintage amps and guitars and basses and, you know, got the late 60s Ludwig kit and, you know, a bunch of ribbon mics and, you know, so it is very much, you know, the board that we're using is the poor man's API console. You know, it's it's by a company called Soundworks. The engineers all left API and started their own company. So it is definitely old school, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely sounds like it, that's for sure. And so really basically what you're saying is you're what's happening in the room is absolutely old school, and it's going into it's just being captured by some newer technology. And are you is everything kind of going direct and everybody's playing live with the exception of the soloist, or how's
no,
that work?
There's nothing that goes direct in the sense of like there's that's another thing, like DIs don't happen at the studio, you know what I mean? I'm not a believer in DIs. I'm one of those people, like I literally, like with Simon, man, they used to laugh at me because we go and play a live show and inevitably, you know, the engineer goes over and sets up the DI. And I learned, instead of arguing with the sound man and saying, hey, man, I don't use the DI. You know, we'd always put a mic on the bass.
Right.
But I would just, when the sound man walked away, I would unplug the DI. You know what I mean? So he'd be forced to use the mic, you know?
Right.
And so no DIs, man. It doesn't make sense. It's like, why would you mic a guitar but use a DI on a bass? I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. so no DIs. I would give up. I got to give props, man. Like, so Jack and Dino, do you know Jack and Dino? So Jack was the engineer, the original engineer on like the Nirvana stuff. And speaking of Nirvana again, and Soundgarden, he's we joke that Jack is the godfather of grunge. Anyway, he lives up in Seattle still, and he mixed these things, and he mixed 100 of them. So now, since Jack, we've now added Rob Schnapp, who's awesome. He did he's like, he discovered Beck and started Bongload Records and did Elliott Smith and all that stuff, and has since done like Mavis and Booker T and all that stuff.
Right.
And then, like I was telling you before we started rolling tape, we're using Matt Winiger now, who's a badass, just moved to Austin from the Bay Area. And Matt was kind of, you know, I guess made his name by doing Primus, and but has now like become multi Grammy award winning for the fantastic Negrito, you know, who's also, I don't know if you're hip to them, but Fantastic Negrito's really badass. But anyway, getting back to the recording, I just want, you know, give props to the mixers, you know what I mean, because they all fully grasp this kind of we don't want to be retro. Like, you know, I wasn't looking to do like a Daftones thing, you know, where it was like, where it sounded like, you know, I didn't want it to sound fake old. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to be hi-fi, but organic, I guess.
Well, no, yeah.
I wanted it to be.
Yeah, you definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I know totally what you're saying. It is incredibly organic, and it doesn't sound like, it's something that was recorded in the 60s or for that matter even the 70s. It sounds fresh, but it's got
yes.
it's more about the vibe than anything else. That's what I'm getting
yep.
from it.
Yeah, man, I'm so glad you get it. I mean, that's awesome. That's great.
So what's, as they say in New York back in the day, they used to say, so what's the get on this? What do you got? I mean, because right now, anybody can go to you right now, folks can go to YouTube, they can go to Spotify, they can pull all this stuff up. What is the get for you guys in regards to that? Is it really back to the website, needtoknowmusic.com? That you guys are going to sell albums of this, or is it, where are you guys heading with it?
So, I would jump in, Mark, and say that, thank you for all the kind words. And what we've really tried to do is just, we say it's handmade music. We're just into organic handmade music.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was really, to be candid, really driven by selfish reasons, which was I speak for Frank, I wanted to record a bunch of people I love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you get to record one song, it's really easy to do. Most guys who are signed to a label, there's not going to be an issue, you know, contributing one song on a little project somewhere. The idea of doing longer, extended projects, you know, changes the dynamic dramatically. So it's a lot easier to get guys to come in and play a solo and just do what they do.
Right.
And really, we've been trying to group things together. And for example, when I think about Texas, we've got Danson Thunderbirds play, Chris Duarte, Jake Andrews, Mike Keller, Mike Vito, Jackie Benson, Roy Gaines, although he's not really Texas now, but, you know, Roy Gaines was Texas. Andrew Jr. Boy Jones.
Carl Weathersby.
Yeah. Carl Weathersby from Chicago is now living in Texas.
Yeah, he's killer. He just played last night.
Yeah, Carl's great. And let me think, Dave Grissom. Danny Freeman.
That's right.
Like I said, we have 137 of these things recorded. We've only released, like, and when I say released, man, we just kind of released them out into the ether. You know, we've only released, like, 40, you know what I mean? So
right.
We got a ton of stuff, you know, that's still coming. But I digress here. I'll let Brian continue.
But I was just thinking about Texas. Johnny Lee Shell's got Texas Root. I think Lucky Peterson has Texas, or lives in Texas now. Kid Ramos, who I think of as, you know, being on the Thunderbirds, obviously, and Duke Robillard being at the Thunderbirds at one point, and John McBay out of Houston, who's now living in St. Louis. So, really, we are starting to group things together and say, you know, badass blues from Texas, you know, there's 14 or 15, or, you know, West Coast blues, and have everybody from, you know, Tommy Castro and Kid Anderson or whomever, and really, we haven't thought a lot about how to, what we're going to do with it. We've just, you know, been trying to record our heroes or people that I like and want to support and feel like I can do something for them and they can do something for us. And we'll sort of figure out the business shortly. But right now, we've just really been trying to record our heroes.
That's super cool. I love the intention. It's sort of like, you know, you guys have decided to create these moments and then capture these people as archivists in a way, because it's like kind of like what Tom Waits says about music is, you know, music is just something interesting that we do with the air, you know, and I like the archival aspect of it. You know, it's like capturing, it's sort of like what I do with this show when I get somebody, you know, like a Walter Trout or Jimmy Vaughn or, you know, Waddy Wattel or Leslie West on the show. It's, for me, it's like, it's almost like I said to Walter Trout recently, I said, you know, it's sort of like baseball cards, you know, when we were kids. It's like, got it, need it, you know?
Absolutely. And actually, all four of those cats that you just named, we don't have yet, and we want to. So, you know, if you talk to any of them, please tell them that we would love to record all four of them.
I will do that.
You know. Those are all cards we don't have yet.
Yeah.
But really, Mark, the way you described it is really true. We have a huge list of people, and it runs the gamut from young and unknown to, you know, established people who have a working career. I mean, there's even been people that I've tracked down or tried to track down that, you know, seem to have vanished from the scene. And, you know, unfortunately, some of them pass away or some of them, you know, get incarcerated or they can't play anymore, they have health issues or what have you. I mean, I was super bummed. I got hold of Al Kooper. I wanted Al Kooper to play on a track, and he said, you know what, I just can't play anymore. And I love all his organ work, all those records for years and years. And he just said, you know, I have such poor health issues these days, I cannot play.
Yeah, he said he wanted to leave it good enough as it is or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a bummer, man. Yep. To hear somebody about like that, somebody who just is. I mean, talk about groove players, right?
Yeah, well, that's for sure. I mean, we've been in touch with Peter Frampton, man, and you know, Frampton made that announcement about you know, kind of losing his facility, you know.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that when he's on a big farewell tour,
yeah,
and we're hoping that, you know, the secular God willing, you know, that when he's done with that tour, that he'll still be up for, you know, doing a track. You know,
I have a feeling he's gonna finish this tour. I think he's gonna finish this tour, and then he's gonna start guesting on records. That's what I think is gonna happen.
Well, I hope so, man. I hope that, you know, his, you know, physical decline is slower than what we hear.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I mean, nobody, you know, these cats are not getting any younger, man. I mean, you know, so, you know, this is, like you're saying, it is a matter. Some of this is, we are definitely trying to archive, collect, And really, that's why the need to know part of the label name. You know what I mean? If we truly, you know, and not in a, you know, not in a heavy-handed way, but we honestly, truly believe that these people are need to know artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you'd be surprised at how many cats that, you know, even young up and coming musicians don't know who some of these cats are.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
I'm amazed that. I can't believe that anybody doesn't know who Mike Stern is. You know what I mean? Like, to me,
right,
that's like not, I think, in my mind, I think that's like not knowing who, you know, John Coltrane is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but then I actually teach third and fourth graders music, man. And, you know, I mean, most kids, you know, most third and fourth graders don't know who Miles Davis or John Coltrane are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
no, I talk to a lot of younger musicians here in Austin, and, you know, I'll mention to them, you know, I'll mention to them Austin artists that they don't even know, and these are people that are living in their neighborhood. So it's kind of strange. Yeah, I mean, it would have been I was just thinking, since we just lost Dr. John, that would have been something to have him do something with you guys. That would have been, especially with those grooves that you are laying down. It's killer.
Yeah, well, it was on the list. And it's funny you mentioned Dr. John, man, because, as you know, man, you steal from the best, right?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
And I mean, definitely Bonnaroo, man. I mean, I've been stealing from that record since I was 17. You know what I mean? Like, that's the pinnacle, man. That's the archetype. I mean, the George Porter's bass lines on that, man, are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, truly, I actually just listened. I listened to what's the name of the record? Remedies. I listened to Remedies last night as a kind of, me and my 17-year-old son, who I'm glad to announce, like, he knows who Dr. John is.
That's beautiful.
And we listened to Remedies, and then we listened to what's the album with Walk on Gilded Splinters, man.
Cree Cree, dude, so good. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So, is there a I'm trying to see what are we looking at for the next couple of years or so for this? I mean, obviously you're going to continue to archive, you're going to continue to record. But is there a game plan that we can be privy to now, or is this something you want to hold on to?
So, I mean, I think that we are keeping an eye out. We're looking at younger cats. You know what I mean? Like, we're trying to pay attention. Like, Lockie Doley. You hit the Lockie Doley.
Yeah.
He's like, so, like cats like that. You know what I mean? Like, we're looking to expand internationally, like trying to expand, we've had Drew Farcatori, Ali Farcatori's kid,
right.
And Bambino.
Right.
But, there are cats out there all over the world. Oh, Luna, are you hip to this woman? She plays, I can't remember what it's called, man. I can never pronounce it. It's like it's the Chinese giant zither, this woman, Luna, and she does, she kind of went... So she's going to do one. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
cool.
Because, this is the beautiful thing about blues, right? And we use blues, right, is because, it is a universal idiom, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like built on the pentatonic scale, which
right.
is, it is the most primitive, really, form of expression, right?
Mm-hmm.
Musical expression.
Mm-hmm.
So it translates to all other countries, what's the Indian guitar player that's coming up? I can't remember his name. Oh, it's terrible. We're trying to reach out internationally to as many artists as we can, continuing to do this. And then I think, we need to figure out or decide how to better, I'll use a good San Francisco word, we need to monetize it. You know what I mean?
Right.
We need to figure out how we're going to make money doing this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But we kind of feel like it's the build it and they will come, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the important thing to us is just that to do it, to make sure it's fun, and just to keep it good, keep a level of quality up. We have this, the need to know thing, we have the vinyl, this whole other side of this vinyl thing on the website. And, we're just trying to, we're trying to just do the right thing,
Right. It's so cool. I can totally get what you're doing, because it's sort of like what I do with this. The reason I created this was it was a venue for people like you and other musicians and guitar players in particular to have a way to promote what they do. And it was something I wish I would have had back in the day before the internet.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sort of like a gift back for all the great music that I've been able to listen to in my life. But, man, I got a list of people that I want to give you that you should record. I mean, like, real up-and-comers, you know, like Joanna Connor and Taranzo Cannon out of Chicago.
We have Joanna Connor recorded already.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. Isn't she amazing? I love her.
She killed it, man. She was like, she just ripped it up, man. Ripped it up. I mean, she is just... She's on fire, man. Like, crazy slide player.
It's great because I always say this about her. Is like, you know, I tell her this all the time. It's like, you can't tell where she ends and the guitar begins. It's like...
Yeah, that's true.
It's, the fluidity is just incredible. And I don't mean just the playing. I'm talking about the... Just how it all just kind of... It's an amalgam of who she is. It's incredible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But we should, man. We should compare notes, you know, because we're always looking for new people, man, you know. So that would be great. We can do that offline.
Yes, offline. Yes. And you know, we, like I said, once we break you that nasty habit that you've got, we'll get you some beef ribs and you'll be fine.
Oh, man. You know, for example... Mark, are you familiar with Jake Andrews?
No.
Oh, my God. He's an Austin kid. His father was John Andrews, who's, I forget what band John was in when he was up and coming. But Jake was signed to Warner Brothers when he was 17 years old, which is probably now 20 to 25 years ago. And he was going to be sort of another version of Johnny Lang, if you will, at that moment in time, young teenager.
Uh-huh.
And sort of never really happened for Jake, but he's always played, and I've maintained a relationship with him. And I reached out to him, you know, 6 months ago, because I knew he was in Austin playing and doing what he does. And Frank was not familiar with Jake either.
No, I'd never heard of him. That's what I'm saying. Bricky has been an unbelievable, like, you know, and A&R guy to me, man, because I'm on the non-business side of it. Yeah. You know, A&R guy to me has always had negative connotations. But Frankie has been an A&R guy in the true sense of the word, right? Like the artist and repertoire,
right,
where it's like you have somebody who has their heart in the right place and is making decisions for the right reasons. You know what I mean? So, you know, he's been great, man. And this guy, Jake Andrews, by the way, his dad played with Mother Earth. And they were a band in the 60s, man. They were a great band. And anyway, so Jake is like, blew my mind. You know what I mean? Like, blew my mind. Like, you know, he telecommuted. And his track, like, sent in the files. And every one of his, so usually I have people send in, like, you know, they said if they're telecommuting, I have them do, like, even if they're in the room, I have them do 4 or 5 passes, and then I comp from what they give me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Jake, every one of his, like, you know, so I'll get these, you know, they'll send me the files, and I'll usually send Brian a comp, right? So with Jake, I sent Brian all 4 passes of his performance, because every single one was, and we could have put out 4 different singles of his solos, because it was that exciting, you know what I mean? It's just great, man.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And the point I was thinking about Jake, just as a reference point, was, you know, here's a guy that's below the radar, but we thought he was great and wanted to include him. I know we've got young kids like Spencer McKenzie, who's winning all these blues awards up in Canada.
Yeah.
Hamish Anderson from Australia. I mean, we've done some really interesting stuff. I mean, I got Harp Dog Brown to play a harp solo. And he's a true character out of Canada, and he's trying to sort of, you know, get a little more going on in the States. He's working down here a bit, but, you know, my feeling was I wasn't that interested in whether people had a big profile or what have you. I just wanted to get guys and girls, women, who I thought were going to be great. And, you know, from Joanna Connor.
All right. So,
hello.
Yeah. You there? Okay. So We know that this is going to be an archival for now, and at some point in time, you guys are going to decide what you're going to do with all this. I mean, because this is hours of stuff that we haven't even heard yet, which I can't wait to hear. And when we hang up, there's a particular guitar player that I don't want to mention on air, but I want to talk to you off air about that. I really, and he's always out. He comes out to California quite a bit. I want to hook you guys up because he is amazing, and I want you to record him.
That sounds good. You know, and I'd like to add, you know what I mean? So as far as any of the cats that are listening, you know, the guitar players, the musicians, and I'm, you know, we're talking kind of guitar player heavy, but, you know, it's not just guitar players, you know what I mean? Like, we have Bria Skonberg, you know, the trumpet player, and, John Medeski, the organ player, and, the Hagam player from a woman named Bo Mi Kim. And I can't remember the name of the band, but they played in the Olympics. They were in the closing ceremonies. They're a huge Korean kind of like really heavy, dark rock band. And I saw her play and I was like, oh, dude, that would be great. So, you know, this is just kind of if I can use this as a little soapbox here to get our word out. And, you know, if you're listening, please get in touch with us because, it's about word of mouth and the gig pays. You know what I mean? It's not like we're not asking anybody to do this for free. You know what I mean? So, you know, it is a paid session. If you're out there doing it, we'd love to hear from you.
So, that's cool. How would they get a hold of how would players get a hold of you?
I guess the easiest way to get a hold of us would be to send us an email anything it's a catch-all email, so anything at needtoknowmusic.com. So they could send solo or guitar or session at needtoknowmusic.com and it will get through, you know. And then we also have a Gmail, I'll throw that out there, which is toknowaudio@gmail.com. So either one of those will get to us. And we also have Facebook, the Funk Wrench has a Facebook page, and Need to Know has a Funk Wrench page. I have a personal Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter and all those wonderful things,
All right, that's cool. I'll put this as a link. I'll put those as links on the episode page for this particular episode. In the show notes. So folks, you can go to guitarradioshow.com and you'll find them all listed there, all those links. So you can go ahead and send them an email and see where it lands.
That's great. Thank you so much. And I just want to thank you, man, for doing this. You know, it's a great resource, really, you know. And like you were saying, especially for younger cats coming up, I mean, how great would it have been for as a younger cat, to be able to, put on earphones and headphones or earbuds and listen to cats talk about all this stuff. It's like, it's kind of like being able to sit with mentors, you know what I mean? Like, It's cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man.
And thank you so much for doing this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate what you're doing too, as far as this whole archival process. As I listened to each one that you guys were doing, I was like, man, this is so cool, and it's kind of amazing that not a lot of people know about it. I think they will after this, but
that's the thing. Hopefully, as of yet. We're just putting it out there into the ether,
Yeah.
And we have not launched any kind of marketing or you know, promotion, you know?
Right.
So really, hopefully, you know, this will kind of be a step in that direction.
Right. Well, I know Breaky had to leave us because he's off to something else. Thank him for being on. And, you know, when you guys get to Austin, please let me know, man. We'll get together. Maybe we'll do a little jam. I'll take you to some of my favorite guitar stores, and we'll do it up.
Right on. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, sir. Folks, check him out. It's Funk Wrench Blues. You can go to YouTube. That's one of the places that I go to. You can go to Spotify or just go to Google and type in Funk Wrench Blues, and you will be able to find a whole slew of these amazing videos, and there's more to come, and this music, and there's more to come. And go to needtoknowmusic.com for a whole lot more information there. Like I said, when you go to guitarradioshow.com, you'll find the list of all the different links that you can find there. You'll also find a couple of the tunes through YouTube in those spots as well. Frank, thanks so much for being on Guitar Radio Show, man.
All right, Mark, thank you.
All right, you hold on. We're going to sign off right here.
GuitarRadioShow.com